Life is full of choices that are either constructive or destructive. Here's Dr. Vanessa Ellen.
Wisdom is, in order to build it up, I've got to seek truth, live truth, think truth, believe truth, versus tearing it down, acting in my unbelief systems.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Wagemuth, author of Lies Women Believe and the Truth That Sets Them Free. For July 28th, 2020, I'm Dana Gresh.
I'm so glad we're able to continue a conversation we started yesterday with Dr. Vanessa Ellen from Houston. You're the chair of the Women's Ministries Department at
the College of Biblical Studies.
The College of Biblical Studies.
Yes.
And I was so fascinated by our conversation yesterday. I wish we could just sit and talk for hours.
Yes.
But you've been working hard here at Revive Our Hearts for the last couple
it's
of days.
It's been wonderful.
And so I'm just glad we were able to snag these moments to sit down and have a conversation about some of the things that just impact us as women, especially in our relationships and in our churches and in our families.
Mm-hmm.
And you've worked with so many women. You have a lot of practical wisdom. As we've been talking, I think about that verse in Proverbs chapter 14 that talks about how a wise woman builds her house, but a foolish woman tears it down with her hands.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we know we're not just talking about a physical house here, and we're not just talking about the home that we live in. That's certainly a big application there, but the church is a family, too.
Yes.
It's a home for the people of God, and I think we both could see in our own lives and in those we minister to ways that when we're wise women, that our homes, our even our workplaces, our relationships, they're built up, they're strengthened, they're encouraged, they prosper. But when we're foolish women, we can be really, really destructive. And not just women. The same could be said of men.
Exactly.
But that verse specifically talks about a wise woman.
Yeah.
So let's just pick up kind of where we left off yesterday. And what are some of the ways we started into this that a woman can get wisdom that can build up her environment?
Right.
You talked about getting into the Word.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about being plugged into accountability relationships, mentoring relationships. Mm-hmm. Any other ways that you can think of that women need wisdom and how that builds up our home, our church, our relationships?
Yes. Well, one way I would think is that the Scripture also talks about taking every thought captive.
Yeah.
Sometimes we think on things too long. You know, we create these belief systems in our mind that either she doesn't like me or they don't like my clothing or there's something. We start to have these belief systems. And before you know it, we're acting on them as if they are true.
So this is a foolish way of living that actually ends up being destructive.
Exactly.
And tearing down our relationships. Mm-hmm. And I must say, I think it's hard for, I don't want to overgeneralize here, but I think it's hard for a lot of men to understand how women's minds work. Because we're always thinking about 72 things at once. And when we think about something negative, it snowballs.
Yeah.
We mull it over. And if it's something that's not true and it's not rooted in truth, it can be just, you know, pondering or something that we heard that somebody said to us 2 years ago or 22 years ago, and it's stuck like that. You know, the old records with the needle, it just gets stuck and it's, I don't want to make the noise, but it's like an annoying noise.
Right.
And if we're thinking things that aren't true, we really can get way off track. And how does that affect not only us, but the people around us?
Oh, well, it starts a snowball effect of disorder, chaos. Every evil thing, basically. I would say we were talking about wisdom, and what is it? It's the opposite of that. So I would say what we would need to do is to start to take every thought captive. Begin to ask, is this really true? How do I know this? Where did I get this thought from? And that can apply to what I believe my husband is or is not doing, what my boss is or is not doing. We get caught in this mental space that we sometimes have a hard time working ourselves out of. So wisdom is one, getting into the Word and asking, is what I'm believing true? What I'm telling myself, is it truth?
These thoughts that are threatening to capsize me and threatening the people around me, are they true?
Are they true? Because many women will spiral down out of control into depression and other things based on a single thought that may not have even been true.
And then sometimes the thought is true,
correct,
but it's not something we need to let control us.
Exactly.
You know, let all things be done in love.
Yes. And even if it is true, now ask the question, why is God allowing this in my life? What is he trying to teach me? What is he walking me through in this moment? Because sometimes it is true that your boss is not great, or he's trying to convince you to do something immoral or illegal. Sometimes,
and no matter how great your husband is, there are things about him that are not fully sanctified yet, right?
That's right. And your children. Oh, my goodness. Children or grandchildren. There are things that they could be doing that are, it's true. But now, how am I going to handle it in a God-honoring way? How am I going to love them?
How am I going to build them up?
Yes.
Rather than tearing
them down?
Yeah.
So when we look at a wise woman builds up her house, she has to stop and ask, how do I do the opposite of what my flesh would want me to do right now?
Because usually the right thing to do is the opposite of what my flesh is telling me, right?
My flesh is telling me to do right now. How do I get into the opposite game? Which is really, how do I love them? How do I seek their highest good? How do I agape them? Because, you know, sometimes we just want to be in the touchy-feely love stage. Not really the sacrificial agape love stage.
Which is what it absolutely takes to get through the hard patches.
Yes. So wisdom is, in order to build it up, I've got to seek truth, live truth, think truth, believe truth, versus tearing it down, acting in my unbelief systems.
Or my wrong belief systems.
Yeah.
Yeah, lack of faith.
Lack of faith.
Lack of truth.
Mm-hmm. Lack of love.
So it's really just continually counseling our hearts according to what is true.
Exactly.
Not what my emotions are running away with. And don't you find that our emotions, if they're not girded up with truth, they can become a torrent, a hurricane, a storm that devastates the people around us.
Oh, yeah. And we are quick sometimes to say, well, it's just my emotions. I wasn't thinking anything, as if emotions are out there by themselves. No, they're driven by the thoughts from the heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So your emotions are rooted and grounded in what you're thinking. You think so, you believe so, you act so. And before you know it, you're out of control. And, you know, it's a little harder for us sometimes as women because we do have estrogen. We do have hormonal imbalances. We have all these things. And we'd like to blame it on that. You know, I'm in a menopausal season. I'd love to blame my craziness on I'm hot. I'm tired. And I'm bothered. All of the above.
That's not a good combination.
It's not a good combination.
So you know, in those seasons, they're very real.
They're very real.
How do we manage?
Yes.
How do we walk in the spirit rather than letting our flesh just run over everything and everyone around us, pulling us down in them too?
First, take responsibility. It's not just this thing that's happening outside of your control. So I can't just say, well, you know, I'm menopausal. That's why I cussed him out. We take responsibility, and it's because the Bible calls us to self-control. It doesn't say unless you're pregnant, unless you're PMSing, unless you're menopausal. So I would say first, let's take responsibility for our thoughts, our emotions, our responsibility. And then sometimes you need to remove yourself. Sometimes for me, I have to step away and have a conversation with God. And I think that's okay. Remove yourself until you get self-control. Now, I'm not saying leave the home or do, you know, sometimes people take it to the extreme. But take a moment to pray.
Pause.
Just press pause.
Yeah.
Talk to the Lord. Allow him to center you. And then go back and try to do it in a more loving way.
And I wonder how much of our craziness in those moments might be diminished or averted if we would just stop and say, Lord, I really need you right
now.
I cannot handle this child.
Yes.
I cannot handle this however I'm feeling. And there are some seasons of a woman's life. I think of some of my friends who are young moms. They've got a lot of little ones, and they are always tired. I mean, they, the mothers, the kids have limitless energy, it seems.
Yes.
But that's a season.
Mm-hmm.
And to say, Lord, I can't do this without you. That's humility, right? Which is wisdom.
It is wisdom. Yeah. And it helps, too, to have support if it's your husband or a best friend or a neighbor. Because sometimes you really do have to say, Mom's going to take a bubble bath. You know, I just need 15 minutes to gather my thoughts and come back.
Yeah.
And we can talk about this deed that you made. You know, sometimes you just really need to separate yourself so that you don't respond in unloving ways.
Yeah. And you talked about support.
Yes.
I think that's an example of how we really do need to walk in community, to have women's friendships can be so important so that when I'm weak, when I'm needy, I'm not too proud to say, I need some help here.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to, like, really lose it.
Yeah,
can you pray for me?
Right.
I have some women that I do this with. They do it with me. Mm-hmm. And when we're, like, on the verge of sinning,
yes,
or tempted to,
right,
we're going to text and say, can you pray for me? I'm not handling this very well.
Yeah. And it's good to have that mature friend, that mature support, because
not just somebody who's going to sympathize with you in your sinfulness.
Yes. Girl, you should have told him off. You know, I mean,
that type of thing.
You know, you don't want someone that's going to agree with your sin. Although you feel like you want a yes person in the moment, but you really need someone who can say, that's not the right way to handle it. Although your situation, because sometimes I want to remind people, sometimes the situation that's happening outside of you is real. Someone may have really wronged you.
Sure.
So the response that you're about to have may seem appropriate to what has happened to you. You just got to make sure it's appropriate to what God says. Is that the response he wants you to have?
And that's why I'm so thankful for friends I have who I can share with them confidentially, here's what I'm dealing with. But
correct,
I know they're not going to say, oh, that person's a jerk.
Yes.
They're going to help me think through
correct
what is a godly response
that's
to that
right
situation,
that's
which
right
is what I really need. That's a true
yes
friend in that moment.
Yes.
You know, as we talk about wisdom and foolishness, Proverbs 14, you can't not talk about the tongue.
Yeah.
I mean, that's such a huge, that's all through Proverbs, all through Scripture.
Right.
But I think something that really gets me and us as women in a lot of trouble is thinking that it's okay to say whatever I'm thinking.
Exactly. And especially as the generations age. So it seems to be that once you cross 60, even 70, that generation sometimes thinks, well, I'm old enough. I can say what I want now. I've lived long enough to be able to. I've earned
I just got into 60 myself, so you're preaching to me right here. Go ahead.
I've earned my stripes to tell you what I'm thinking. We still have a response to be godly and to have a testimony before the world that shows Christ's love. Now, are we going to be perfect? No. But I think this is where the true Christian goes back and confesses, you know, the way I spoke to you earlier wasn't loving, it wasn't gentle, it wasn't kind. Would you please forgive me? Because we're not always going to get it right.
I'm thinking especially on, maybe I'm just seeing a lot of this these days, but on social media and the freedom with which people are just hurling accusations, and men and women, on so many issues. And so if I disagree with you, and I'm talking about Christians,
right,
that we feel the liberty to just fling these barbs, these arrows, these to crucify you and your sometimes I think we're saying things in that sitting that we'd never say to that person if they were sitting in the
That's
same
exactly
room with us.
Right. Yeah.
And how destructive is this in the body of Christ and in our testimony to the world?
It is. And I think what they forget is that Christ is sitting right there with you.
Yeah, no kidding.
So where you think you may be sending it out into the airwaves and it's okay because the person is not there, a person is there.
Yeah.
And you are offending a holy God by treating his children in such a way. So whether we're in person or not, God has still called us to holiness. I think that's the standard that's missing. He's called us to a holy living. Doesn't matter if it's on social media. How dare we treat our brothers and sisters in such a way? That's not pleasing unto him. I think we've lost our way with that.
Yeah. Well, we love ourselves more than we love others, right?
Yeah, and we think we have a right. I think what I'm seeing in this social media game is we have a right to declare something as wrong. You know what I mean? Like we look into someone's life and then we decide, I can tell you you're wrong. But what if they were looking into our lives? What if someone was following us around with a camera and said all day long, wrong, 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 wrong? We would be annoyed.
Not to speak of, we wouldn't be motivated to change.
Exactly. So telling me off on social media may not get me to the point where you think I should be. And how is that Christian charity?
You know, it seems like we live in such an uncivil era.
Yeah.
And so in the news, in politics, people are, it's just loud, angry, screaming at each other.
Yeah.
And I feel like as Christians, we've picked up a lot of that tone.
Yeah, we have. But I don't know that we are showing the compassion. We've lost the art of
what we can't be yelling at someone and loving them at the same time, right?
It's hard. It's very, very hard to do. But I don't know that many would think. I've read a couple of things and they say, well, we have the right to rebuke one another. And I get that. But what happened to the part that says one-on-one? If you have an ought, go to them one-on-one.
Yeah.
There's like, I don't know, a million people out there in that social media world. This is why my husband and I, we don't do social media. Our church just launched into that, so I'm a little terrified. But I don't
know. Get thick skin when you do.
I know. But I don't see the Christian charity, the love, the gentleness, the grace.
The fruit of the Spirit.
Wait for a pattern before you call someone something.
And Galatians 6:1 says, when you do rebuke, do it in a spirit of gentleness.
Yeah. You who are spiritual, restore such a one.
And watch lest you also fall into similar sins, right?
Same way you're judged, you shall be judged.
Yeah.
See, we forget all of these things, but we want to run right to, but we can rebuke. Yeah, but there are other passages.
I'm thinking right now, speaking of passages, of we've been talking about wisdom and foolishness, but James chapter 3, the scripture says, who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom, the humility of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, godly wisdom, but it is earthly, unspiritual, demonic.
Demonic.
For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. It's like, boy, what a contrast there is between that wisdom that is from above and the wisdom that is earthly, sensual, and devilish.
Demonic.
And we can have that lower kind of wisdom. It's not wisdom at all. It's foolishness. Mm-hmm. That's what tears down. That's not just in the world.
Yeah.
We can have that in our churches and our Christian homes.
Oh, we do. It's called church splits.
No kidding.
Yeah. That's if you ask, what caused that church split? Selfish ambition, evilness, demonicness, all of that.
Strife. Lack of humility, pride.
All of that. Tore the church up. I want red carpet. No, I want blue carpet. It happens.
And Proverbs says, only by pride comes contention.
Yeah.
Just within the last few weeks, I found this in my marriage as Robert and I were having a hard conversation. And it took me a lot of the night being awake while he was sleeping next to me to realize my pride fueled this. We weren't screaming and yelling, but there was a barrier.
Yeah.
And if we don't deal with that and humble ourselves, so when he woke up, I was already lying.
Yes.
I said, honey, I need you to forgive me.
Yes.
I wasn't being truthful with myself or with you when I was responding in that conversation or being loving. So this is something we have to be continually humbling ourselves, owning up, taking responsibility, and doing what we can to sow peace.
Yeah. But if we don't, let's take your example. Let's say we don't confess and repent.
Yeah.
There's that little bump under the rug of the carpet, and then another thing happens and we don't, then now it becomes a little hump, and it's a hill, and now it's a mountain. And before you know it, marriages fall because you keep tripping over years and years of that lack of love towards one another. But that happens in the church. People have been mad long before they leave and walk out the door. Let's take the time out to stop and say, okay, maybe you were right in this regard. Maybe I was right in this one. But who cares that who's right? Where's the love? Where's the glory to God? How do we make this right? How do we reconcile this?
Yeah.
Now, I do always say to women, because sometimes they say, well, I have tried. I've tried with my spouse. I've tried with my mother. I've tried, you know, and it just doesn't work. I've tried with my children. I say, well, you know, the Bible also says, as much as it depends on you, be at peace with all men.
Right, right.
So it doesn't say you're always going to have this peaceful relationship. It's just, don't let it be because of you there's discord. So I want to encourage women sometimes that it's not going to turn out to be a peaceful situation sometimes. But just as long as it's not because of you.
And so often we're giving ammunition to the enemy and to the other person by our pride, our foolishness, and it's tearing down those relationships. Yeah. I want to just touch on one other thing that I know you have a life message in, and I want to get your wisdom on this. You have struggled for years with lupus. Your two daughters have as well. So you've dealt with physical weakness, with pain, with limitations. And I think sometimes that can, in our lives as women, that season, I've a number of friends were struggling with Lyme disease, and it's so debilitating. How do you counsel your heart and other women when it comes to walking in the Spirit. You want to, but you just feel so physically weak.
It can be tough. This last year has been very tough for me. What's helpful is to have others encourage you and come around you and support you. I had 3 surgeries in 8 months last year. I was confined to the house the majority of that time. You know, at some point, life has to go on for everyone else. So at some point, I was left in the home by myself. And I can admit there were days when I really started down a dark path of, you just start to feel like life is passing you by. You know, everyone else's life is going on, but yours is just still, it's not moving. And I remember saying, okay, God, what are you trying to teach me? How do I get back to you? I feel like I'm moving. You didn't move. I'm drifting. Let me thank you for my circumstance. So that's what I would tell women. Thank God for everything. Because, you know, I look at it this way. In life, there's like a buffet of illnesses. You know, there's this, there's that, and there's all this stuff. Somewhere there's lupus. And I go, compared to the other 99 million, I'll take lupus for 500, Alex, you know. So you find a way to thank God for everything.
But you may have one of the...
You may have...
You know, I have 6 friends who've lost their lives to ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. That is a vicious disease. And so you may get one of the worst ones.
Yeah.
Can you walk in the Spirit and in thankfulness then?
I think you can. One of the things they told me was that you do know there's no cure and you will die from this. And I sat down my leadership team at the church and said, listen, there's some things I need to teach you because I don't know how long I'm going to be here. But you know, at the end of the day, we were not intended to stay here. Yeah. I know that's hard. It's hard to swallow. It's hard for people who have tough situations. But everything about me right now is falling apart. Every joint is coming apart.
And it's true of all of us, whether we realize it or not.
Yes.
It's going to be sooner or later. These earthly bodies are going to be.
They're trying to get back to the dirt.
Yeah, right.
But I do think you can be thankful because God knows what's best. If I really believe he's a loving God, he's sovereign and all that, I've got to take this. I can't just take the good. I got to take this as well.
Yeah. Well, wise words from Dr. Vanessa Ellen. And I wish we could continue this conversation for a very long time. But thank you for living out this message in your own life. Thank you for the work you're doing to mentor and teach women and women's ministry leaders. And I know the women who've been listening to us have this conversation. Mm-hmm. You've made us think.
Praise God.
And evaluate and take stock and say, Lord, what are you saying in my life? And I especially want to just say to a woman who's in a contentious relationship, ask God for help to be a peacemaker, to have the wisdom that is from above. You can never go wrong on the pathway of humility.
Never.
Someone said to me on social media in the past few days, somebody I don't know, just saw a situation where they felt I had been wronged, and they said, why don't you stand up and point that out and stand up for yourself. And, you know, I'm not saying that there's never a time to do that, but the thought that came to my mind in that moment was the silence of Christ. When at some key points when he was being maligned, he just didn't say a word.
Never said a moment.
There's a time to say a word, but there's a time to be quiet. And we need God's wisdom and grace to know the difference so we can build up our homes.
That's right.
Our relationships, the body of Christ, rather than tearing them down.
Amen.
Okay, wisdom. Wisdom for when to speak up or when to stay silent. That's getting really practical now, isn't it? And I don't know about you, but for me, it's so easy to choose unwisely. And it takes soaking my mind in God's word and walking in the Spirit to make those wise, God-honoring choices. Dr. Vanessa Ellen has been in conversation with Nancy DeMoss-Wagelmuth. And do you know what strikes me? A lot of what they just said is not really rocket science. It's things you and I have heard before, but it's oh so good to be reminded of them, isn't it? Back to the basics. Well, if you're looking for simplicity in a world that's getting more and more complicated, God's wisdom is for you. That's the kind of thing author and businessman Mark DeMoss writes about in The Little Red Book of Wisdom. He kind of breaks things down into basic, more simple truths, and it's so refreshing. Like, think about this. What would your life look like if you valued listening and thinking over talking and doing? How would things be different? The Little Red Book of Wisdom takes you on a journey many people completely miss because they're distracted and attracted to whatever is newer or quicker or easier. This month, we'll send you a copy of this book when you contact us with your gift. We're a listener-supported ministry, and that means we depend on donations from people just like you in order to keep our day-to-day operations going. So thank you in advance for your generous donation, and be sure to ask about the Little Red Book of Wisdom when you get in touch with us. Our website is reviveourhearts.com, and our toll-free number is 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. If you've ever attacked your Bible reading time with colored pencils, there's a good chance you'll recognize the voice of our guest tomorrow.
When you observe the text, the first thing you want is you get a hold of it and you say, you ask the questions, who, what, when, where, why, and how. And who is this about? Who are the main characters? Who is speaking? To whom are they speaking? You go with the most obvious when you're studying inductively.
The much-loved Kay Arthur joins Nancy to talk about ways all of us can study God's Word more effectively. I'm Dana Gresh. Please be back for Revive Our Hearts. Challenging you to build up rather than tear down. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss-Walgemuth is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.